listening to the CCA Podcast.
Well, hey, welcome to church on a Sunday morning. How are you doing? Did you touch Jesus in worship? Yeah, isn't that great? Hey, I'm Ryan. This is Linnea. We're the lead pastors here at Calvary. We're a growing community here at Calvary Christian Assembly. We're growing every week. We're a growing community. And we're all about one thing, Jesus. We're all about helping people find and follow Jesus. So if you're here for that reason today, you're in a good place. We're in agreement. We're already off to a great start. Amen? Hey, listen, this is my beautiful wife, Linnea. She's going to greet you, and then we're going to jump into the Word this morning. We're excited about all that Jesus has in this place.
We're super thankful that you're here, especially on a holiday weekend. I know it's kind of tempting to steal away and do something else. So it's really great to see you guys. We're going to open up this morning with Acts 18, 9 through 10. We ready?
So this is our third and final week of Jesus is Hope, the sermon series that we launched. This is our third week, and our subject today is overcoming fear, okay? So Acts 18, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the 18th chapter, and Linnea's going to read that.
One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid, keep on speaking, do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. Just to give you a little context of what's happening at this point, Paul moves into Corinth, where he is preaching the gospel, and he is being met with nothing but opposition from both the left and the right, from the Jews. Any sort of step forward is met with two steps back, as far as firm opposition from the Jews, and it was just really difficult to be able to advance the gospel. And that constant wearing was very difficult on Paul. And so one thing we really want you to learn today, if there's one thing you can learn, the main idea is that helping people to find and follow Jesus in Seattle can be intimidating at times, but it's okay. But know this, that Jesus provides everything we need in order to overcome that fear. I'll say it again. Jesus provides everything we need to overcome that fear. So in the text, we get this very intimate portrait of Paul. Paul, the super Christian. Paul, the person who wrote a good portion of the New Testament. Paul, the man. He's the man. And here we see him in a place of such discouragement and fear that he was ready to just and leave. It takes a lot to make someone like that back down. But look at the hardship that he has endured throughout the duration of his ministry. He's been discriminated against, hated, betrayed, harassed, tortured, abused, shipwrecked, imprisoned. Not to mention he was probably dealing with a lot of guilt from the way he treated Christians but prior to his conversion. There's a lot at play that Paul is dealing with in his mind. And I think finally the opposition that he was receiving from the Jews in Corinth was starting to become the straw that broke the camel's back. So ministry wasn't all perfect in this wonderful thing for him. But we can see from his life that he had to go through intense trial in order to come over onto the other side of experience intense triumph. And so we are similar to Paul. No, I'm not being tortured. No, I have not been in prison for my faith. But I do understand discouragement. We do understand that feeling of, okay, I feel like there's a pushing back here, whether it's perceived or whether it's very real and very, very much in your face. And so we too, like Paul, have a choice. We can be courageous and keep moving forward, or we can shrink back in fear. And so we want to address that with you today. Paul struggled with fear. Do you?
Yeah, as we read and reflect, and I would encourage everyone in here this week, don't just take our word for it. That's like the last thing you want to do. You want to use us as a catalyst to launch you forward in your walk with the Lord. And so what we talk about here today, I want to encourage each of you this week to open up the 18th chapter of Acts and read through this story on your own. Take some time in your devotions and your time with the Lord to read through this, and you're going to find out, as Pastor Linnea so greatly articulated, that Paul struggled with fear. Like Paul, the great apostle Paul, struggled with fear. Don't you? I mean, isn't that something that we all kind of can agree on today? We all have anxieties, worries, and fears that we contend with. The tension of what fear is in your life. You probably walked in this morning maybe up against something. And so we look at Paul's life and we ask, what are your greatest fears? Some of these things are going to be up on the screen this morning. What are your greatest fears? I opened up the news app on my phone this morning and it was crazy. I read about just stuff that's fearful. Hurricane Dorian intensifies to catastrophic Category 5 hurricane, a disaster scenario for the Bahamas. Fear on the horizon. You don't go, but another story down from CNN says, gunman kills 7 in a rampage that started with a West Texas traffic stop. Did you hear about that? Fear. I mean, just afraid. People that are we're just afraid. There's just craziness going on all around. What is some of your greatest fears? I remember I have some fears. I had some fears when I met this lady here at our first date. Our first kiss. Holding hands for the first time. Fear, right? Just being afraid. What are some other things? Getting older. Some of us in this place, we fear getting older. We fear disease and death. That's a big one. A lot of us fear death in this place. First job. We got some young people in here that are either getting ready for a first job or have started. It's what's next? It's the unknown. It's fear. College. We're moving into school. It's the fall. We got a lot of people going to college for the first time. Fear. What? The unknown. What are your greatest fears? A lot of us in this place, we may call ourselves Jesus followers, and that's all good, but a lot of us in this place are just afraid to share our faith. We're just afraid to speak the name of Jesus, maybe in the public place or at the job. Or what are your greatest fears? Well, this morning, is it really possible to overcome the fears that we all face? Is that even possible? So as we read and we reflect on Scripture today, we want to give you a couple things that in reading and in response for you to reflect on, is it really possible to overcome the fears we face? Number one in your notes, Jesus gives you courage to keep at it. Is it possible to overcome? Well, let's talk about what Jesus does and what Jesus says in terms of fear. Jesus gives you courage to keep at it. I remember I was in India. This was in my formative years, and I felt like I had been called to the ministry, and I had an opportunity to preach a word, and so we're in India. I'm on a missions trip, and I had studied. I mean, I had gone as deep as I could in the theology of what I was going to say, and I was ready. I had my notes. I was all prepped and ready, and it was really cool because there was an interpreter there, so I'd be preaching the first time. I'd say a couple lines, and then the interpreter would translate it into the native tongue where we were preaching, and it was just this really cool opportunity. And so I began preaching, and I began preaching about Daniel and Goliath. Now, for those who are new to church, it's David and Goliath. Daniel's a completely different story, but that, never mind that. I was preaching, man, and I was preaching the paint off the walls, and Daniel and Goliath, and Daniel said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We're talking about overcoming fear. And then I moved into another illustration, and I began preaching about David in the lion's den. Now, for those who are new to church, it's Daniel and the lion's den. I had switched the names and had switched the stories, and I'm talking about how David knelt down in prayer 3 times a day giving thanks to God. Just botching it.
How many salvations happened?
You have to understand, my greatest fears as your pastor are fear of rejection, and fear of failure. Can you relate? Fear of rejection. I want people to like me. If people don't like me, they're not going to listen to me. Right? I want people. See, a lot of times I'm a people pleaser. Don't look at me like that. You are too. Right, babe? And fear of failure. I don't want to fail. You don't want to fail, do you? I mean, that's the last thing we want to do. So I'm sitting there preaching about these two amazing biblical characters just totally messing up the narrative. And it wasn't until after. I mean, I got people going. Right? And it wasn't until after that I realized what I had done, and it just hit me. Failure. Fear of failure. Fear of rejection. This is just, it was hard. And here's the cool thing. God will take our fears. He will turn them around. In the hands of God, your greatest fears can be overcome. Watch this. So the interpreter, okay, I don't know what he's saying, obviously. I'm speaking English and he's translating. Well, he caught my mistakes. And every time I would say Daniel and Goliath, he would fix it with David and Goliath. Every time I would say David in the lion's den, he would fix it and say Daniel in the lion's den. And that's just this. There was a lot of theological mess ups in that message. What is that? That's the grace of God. Yeah. I want to encourage you guys this morning, whatever your greatest fears are, in the hands of God Almighty, He will take it and He will turn that thing around that you're deathly afraid of. He will turn that thing around and He will use it for good. How? Why? Because He's God and because He loves you that much. Jesus gives you courage to keep at it. To keep at it. Read this. Paul, what did he do? He was doing what I was doing what he was doing. Scripture says everything he could up on the screen, everything he could to persuade the Jews that Jesus was in fact God's Messiah. But no such luck. No such luck. Preaching the paint off the walls, having discussions with people out in the community. What is that translated? That's out in the community. Having conversations with people at coffee houses, chatting with your neighbors, praying for loved ones in your family, doing everything you can to persuade that Jesus is God's Messiah, but no such luck. Paul was ready to quit. He was ready to quit. You read the scripture, he was discouraged, totally exasperated, the scripture says. Totally exasperated, Paul had finally had it with them and gave it up as a bad job. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever just, I'm done. Have you ever felt like you're in a situation you expected to go good, but it suddenly went bad? Pastor Scott, it's kind of like my golf game the other day, huh? At the driving range, it was cool, man. We were locked and loaded, man, hitting them far, straight as an arrow. And so we're out there playing golf at Convoy Hope tournament, and all of a sudden, the golf just turned. it went downhill real quick. You know, I was okay when I'm by myself hitting at the driving range, but then when you got to tee up in front of all these people. We got tee the ball in front of all. We had one guy, man. His swing sounded so. It was just. Whoosh, it was. I mean, it sounded like Tiger. It looked like Tiger. It was beautiful, and we're all going. And then we looked down, and it had just. Bloop, he missed the ball just altogether. He just missed. It just. Bloop, I mean, just. A situation that just you expect one thing, you see one thing, and it plays out. Another. Some of us, that happens when we minister. Some of us, that happens when we've shared our faith, and so we've just decided, like Paul, I'm going to give up. I'm just not going to share my faith anymore. It just is what it is. It's easy to become paralyzed by fear, isn't it? It's easy to become paralyzed by hopelessness and discouragement because of the enormity of the need. I mean, where do you even start in a city like Seattle? This is a big place. Where do I even begin in sharing my faith with my neighbors, right? These are questions we ask. the enormity. We see the need, the great, great need. So what do you do when you intend to reach people, but the immediate results aren't what you pictured? What do you do? It's like when I was at the gym, I'm in a cycle class, and I'm sitting there cycling, and the instructor and I had met, and we were friends. I'd struck up conversations with him, getting to know him, him getting to know me. And then something inside of me, God, it's like his spirit just said, ask him what he needs prayer for. So after class ended, you know, with great boldness, I walked up and, hey, you know, I like to pray for people, friends of mine and family members. I like to pray for people that I care about. Is there anything in your life I can pray with you about? And no, his response was, no, prayer, I don't do that. I don't need that. And I said, well, I pray for you anyway. You're one of my friends. So I just kind of left it at that, but it's a little discouraging, right? It's like you work up courage to go chat with somebody and then it doesn't really play out how you think it will. Well, you guys, this is so cool, and this is how God works, because weeks later, all right, in the parking lot, he stops me, and he says, this is weeks later, he goes, there is something that you could pray for me about. And he opens up, and he starts talking about his job and the different needs and some of his fears. Why do I tell you that story? I tell you that story to encourage you to say, listen, things may not look like you want them to as you're sharing your faith. People may not respond how you want them to when you tell them about Jesus, but that's okay. They didn't respond to Paul the way Paul wanted either. Yeah. He was completely discouraged. The ball just right off of his tee. It just didn't look like it was going anywhere. And you know what? God had a plan. And the seeds that you plant, the things that you talk, you will help people by being obedient and by just proclaiming your faith. And so we want to encourage you this morning that in your best efforts, listen, church, are your ears awake this morning? In your best efforts, the enemy is pushing, contentiously pushing back on you. Maybe it's like this. You decide, you work up the courage, you decide to invite somebody to church, and then they might cancel last minute. Or maybe you've worked up the courage to tell somebody a little bit of your story about how Jesus has changed your life, and the enemy's whispering, they're not buying it. And he starts whispering lies like, look, you're stuttering over your words. You can't even articulate right. You can't communicate. The enemy is going to push back. When you decide to step up, and to tell somebody Jesus is hope, the enemy will push back. And so he's working overtime. The enemy is working overtime because he wants you to stay in a place of discouragement. But let me encourage you this morning, church. Your no to fear. You're saying, no, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to fear is a tenacious yes to God. And his power will work on your behalf. Look what Paul said. He said, to do what? Well, how does God work on your behalf? To speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. God uplifts. Here's what God says this morning to you. God says, be strong and courageous. God says, do not be terrified. Next slide. He says, do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go in Seattle. Yeah. This morning, he wants to fill your heart with courage, whatever you're up against. Here's a fact. Jesus, you counted up, over 365 times in the Bible, he says, don't be afraid, fear not, take heart. Over and over, this is worded, articulated through Scripture. Over and over, over 365. I just believe that that was intentional. I just believe that God put that in his word, in the Bible, right here, over 365 times, because he wanted you and I to hear every day of the year, don't be afraid. Don't be afeared. Don't be afeared. Take heart. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Here's a fact. Listen, anxiety, fear, and worry can be overcome with the Word of God. Yeah. with the word of God. Look what scripture says. Next slide. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on. Jesus gives you courage to keep at it. One night the Lord spoke. Have you heard his voice lately? Does Jesus still speak today like he spoke to Paul? These are important questions to ask you. This is important to wrestle with. Does Jesus still speak today like he spoke to Paul?
Yes. Yes.
How can we hear his voice? I submit to you this morning, just like I did at 5 a.m. this morning when I got up, and I have to do that because I have a crazy life. 3 kids, beautiful wife, amazing. When the sun comes up, I'm rolling till 10 at night. Got an amazing church family here, a lot to manage, a lot to do. 5 a.m. is my hour. When is yours? When is your time? Your undivided attention can be on the Lord. How do you hear his voice in a world this crazy? How do you hear his voice when people need you at every turn? How do you hear his voice when you have all these other voices telling you what to do? Let me tell you how. You get up an hour early and you spend time alone with Jesus. How do you hear his voice? You get in his word. You get in his word. And this morning when I read a verse like, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what on earth we're living for. In Christ. And then you just talk to him about it. Lord, that's a really good promise. God, would you help me? And I bring him my fears like I did this morning. Do you do that? I want to encourage you. Try it out. Take some time. Get up 15 minutes earlier than you usually do and take time, just you and Jesus. You're going to find out that he gives you courage to keep at it.
He gives you courage to keep at it. I just love that because here's the deal. It's not if we encounter fear, it's when. We all do it. We're all probably even multi-managing different fears on a certain day. And so the better that we can come up with a formulated response to fear, then the better we can respond and overcome. If we're just taking it as it comes and we're just, okay, that got off me. Now, oh, here, I got hit with another one. And we're just not ready with the response. We crumple. And so these are opportunities, these are tools in your tool belt to be able to know how to go out there and deal with fear, not if, when it comes. And so God gives us the courage to keep at it. And the next thing he does in your notes, Jesus gives you his community to help you overcome. He gives you his community to help you overcome. Verse 10, no matter what happens, I'm with you. And no one is going to be able to hurt you. You have no idea how many people I have on my side in this city. This verse addresses 2 big fears. One, the fear of being in danger. I feel like that's a legitimate fear, right? Like none of us are really just dying to run into a fight. We don't want to be in danger. So we're low-risk people. If there's a crazy way and a more sane way, I'm going to choose sane way. Am I right? Please don't tell me I'm the only one who feels this way. Thank you. But here's the deal with danger. We can double lock our doors. We have the alarm set. We can do everything right. But here's the reality of it. Following Jesus does not ensure that you have a perfectly safe life where nothing bad happens. So I'd like to just break off that lie in case you're buying into that one. Following Jesus does not mean that you have a life that's free of any sort of problems or free of any sort of danger. And so here's the deal, though. Even though we know that there's danger and things that we encounter, we just move forward anyway. So here's a little stat to get you thinking. In the year 2011, there were roughly 300,000 hospital visits related to at-home knife accidents. 300,000 people came to the hospital because they cut their hand making dinner or whatever. That's a really high stat. In fact, there's a lot of big accidents that can happen in the kitchen, like burning yourself on the stove or water, hot water, any of that. And yet, even though that's a really high stat, that doesn't stop us from cooking meals, right? Like, because mama's got to eat. Am I right?
Yep.
So here's the deal. We still take the chance. We still risk possibly cutting our fingers or hurting ourselves or burning ourselves because a meal has to be made. We have to eat. What if we took that same sense of wild abandonment and applied it to the lost? It got real quiet in here. What if it didn't matter if someone looked at us funny? What if it didn't matter if someone rejected our invitation first time? What if our meal is at stake, and that's small potatoes to someone's soul being at stake, it's worthy of taking the risk because there's something much bigger on the line. Am I right?
Yeah.
And so Jesus gives, or actually the Lord gives us so many verses where he tells us he'll be with us. Oh, sorry, I skipped ahead. Oh, okay, the second fear. So the first fear was fear of being in danger. The second fear is fear of being alone. That's a big one. I feel like we live in a more isolated society than ever. We have social media. We have all these wonderful things that help us stay connected, and yet we're more alone than ever.
Yeah.
And yet the Bible continuously tells us that Jesus, that God is with us.
Yeah.
And so Isaiah 43:2, in your notes, go ahead and circle this. It says, when you go through deep water, circle this, I will be with you.
Yeah.
Matthew 28:20. Jesus said, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I want you to underline, I am with you always. That's a promise for you. And then lastly, Deuteronomy 31:6, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave nor forsake you. Go ahead and just underline or circle, God goes with you. He's with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He doesn't ditch out because he's got other problems to solve. There isn't an expiration date on any of these promises. They're firm. They're something that we can stand on, and they're very much certain.
Yeah.
And if that's not enough, like it's not enough firepower that we have the Lord with us, right? God is gracious enough to supply us with a community around us. Because he says in the verse, you have no idea how many people in this city are on my side. He also gives us a community who is for us, cheering us on, and we can do the same for them. And so I feel like that addresses another lie that the enemy wants to tell us, where you're alone. You're the only Christian within 1,000 miles of here, and nobody wants to hear what you have to say. Who contends with that? I mean, that's real. And yet that is a lie. Take a look in the room around you. I mean, just look around. There's roughly about 200 other people who would disagree with you in this room, where we're all on God's side. And we are just one church within this large city, within this large state, within this country, within this world. There are so many God followers. The enemy wants to isolate us and say, you're the remnant. You're all that's left. You're just so pathetic. It's so little, and what's so small, your contribution. That's a lie. There is a huge group. There's an army rising up, and that's us. Come on.
Yeah.
We're powerful with Jesus. I'm not a loser. I'm not alone. I'm not talking big, and there's no one behind me backing me up. We are surrounded by the Lord. We are surrounding each other. So why not stand up in that confidence and go forward? We have all the tools that we need. And so I remember last weekend, so we wore the Jesus Loves Seattle t-shirts, am I right? Remember that? And so I'm feeling it. Service was awesome. Oh my word, glory to glory. And then we go to brunch with our shirts on. And then I just notice people start looking at us, and I'm like, oh gosh, the shirts. Literally doing this, like, Jesus is cool. But you know what? It was funny because I was so, I don't know why, just someone looking at me was enough to like squelch something that was so amazing. And you know what? To my surprise, they were actually looking at us to say, yeah, Jesus does love Seattle. We love those shirts. And I'm like, oh gosh, how embarrassing. We did brunch in those shirts. We did errands at Target in those shirts. I'm not kidding. We were standing talking to your mom in front of Target, and a group of guys drove by in the car and said, "Hey, we like your shirts." And we invited them to church. Daniel, if you're here, hey. Okay, anyway. But there's a lot more people who are for Jesus and who are on his side than we give the Lord credit for. It's a promise. And so let's rewind back to Paul's dream. He had two choices. He could have just said, "No, I'm good. I'm actually done in Corinth. I'm actually done with ministry. I'm going to do the tent making thing. That's lucrative enough." Or, "No, I'm going to move forward." And so Acts 18:11 says that was all he needed to stick it out. He stayed another year and a half, faithfully teaching the word of God to the Corinthians. You know, we too have a choice in the face of, "No, I don't want to go to your church," or, "No, I don't want you to pray for me," or, "Ew, why are you telling me that story? You're so weird." We have a choice. That could be the shutdown moment of, "Okay, I know I'm not supposed to use my voice to speak." Or we can just keep going and say, "Okay, maybe not now for you, but later, and let's keep going." We see Paul, he was afraid in Acts. Yeah. And then we fast forward into Romans 8:15-16, and we just see this shift. We go from scared Paul to like lion Paul. And he says, "The resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, 'What's next, Papa?' God's spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we are certainly going to go through the good times with him." If a shift in thinking could be that dramatic in Paul, and it's available to Paul, that shift is available to us. It's our choice. What are we going to do with it?
Yeah, it's good. Jesus this morning, Jesus is hope. Wherever you're at, Jesus is hope to overcome fear. I said Jesus is hope to overcome all of your fear. All of it. Wherever you're afraid, he is hope to overcome. Jesus gives you his message to boldly speak. It's your next fill-in. I want to ask you this morning, how has fear silenced you? I gave you my greatest fears, right? But how has fear maybe silenced you? Have you realized some of your worst fears? There's some people in here who have realized their worst fears. Maybe you've lost a child. Maybe you've walked through a season of unemployment, jobless, no income. There are people in here who've been through a real bad break, and the doctor has told you you've been diagnosed with something that has no cure. I'm talking about fears this morning. So what is that message? If Jesus gives us a message to boldly face into our fears, what is that message? First of all, let me just make a confession, all right? Confessions of the pastors, all right? It's scary to share your faith with people. Can I just confess something this morning? It's a scary thing to share your faith with people in a post-Christian culture. It's scary. All right, that's my confession. I'm sure you can relate. So just how can we boldly share the hope of Jesus? Let's go back to Scripture again. We got to go back to the 18th chapter, and Jesus says, the Lord spoke, he said, next slide, "Do not be afraid, keep on speaking." Do not be silent. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. I want to encourage you this morning to keep on speaking. Keep on keeping on. Keep on loving people. Keep on being kind to people. Keep on being generous. Keep on doing the next right thing, the next
kind thing. Keep standing for truth. Keep on sharing life and sharing joy and keep on caring. Keep loving. Keep being Christ in Seattle. Keep on. The Lord said, don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. So what is the message? What is the message this morning that God boldly gives us for our city? You're going, what is happening right now? What kind of service is this? This is a service where we're going to be bold. This is a service. What does it say? So we love Seattle. Jesus loves Seattle, so we love Seattle. So what is the message? The message is one word, Jesus. What is this message that he's given us to boldly declare in a city of over 700,000 people and over 3.5 million in the surrounding metropolitan area? What is the message Jesus has given you and me? It's that he loves Seattle. It's that simple. The message is all about Jesus. Listen to how Paul articulates that. Paul's message that he talks about. We read this narrative here in the 18th chapter, and we can't forget, don't forget what kind of man Paul was. Paul was a man of prayer. Paul's message was impactful, was effective because of prayer, his connection with Jesus. Paul says it this way, next slide. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. You see, Pastor Linnea said the same Paul that we read about writes a little differently. The narrative's a little different. How? Well, the same Paul afraid in Corinth now boldly unleashes an overcoming message. Yeah. Here's what he says. I got to read this to you in the Message paraphrase. You're going to love this. Listen. So what's this message that Paul's talking about this morning about fear and overcoming? Okay, he says this. He says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, what? Read it with me. Pray. Let petitions and praises, read it with me, shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and will settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when, read this last part with me, Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Christ displaces fear at the center of your life. Christ displaces anxiety at the center of your life. Christ displaces being afraid at the center of your life. See, prayer encourages spiritual health this morning, church. Prayer, when you talk to God, it unleashes hope in the face of discouragement. Prayer inspires faith in your spirit. Prayer gives boldness to help people in Seattle find and follow Jesus. Prayer is what makes the difference. That's why Paul said, pray also for me. He said, stay alert. And what did he say in Ephesians 6? He said, keep on praying. He wrote those words from a prison cell. Keep on praying, Paul said. Those words, we've got to understand, this Bible is living and active today. This, what Paul wrote was just not for then. We've got to, we can't just read the text. Let the text read you this morning. He says, keep on praying. That's why we've decided to launch a prayer meeting. Write it in your calendar. I want to give it to you right now. September 11th. It's a Wednesday night, 6 p.m. We're going to be meeting in the chapel. It's the room right back here, one of the coolest rooms on campus here. It's the chapel. You just come right on in. We're going to pray for an hour, 6 to 7. Then we're going to share a meal together. There's going to be food. There's going to be dinner. So you don't have to worry about eating before. Just come on and pray with us. Why are we doing that? Because prayer changes everything, quite literally everything. And so we're launching a prayer meeting, and we want you part of it. Jesus says, my house is a house of
prayer.
Here's three things to pray for real quick. Fill it in, and we're closing here in a few minutes. Three things to pray for in terms of overcoming fear and getting out and sharing our faith, helping people find and follow Jesus. Open doors of opportunity to share Jesus. This is what we're going to pray about. Open doors of opportunity. Open hearts to receive Jesus. Like my friend who I prayed for in the parking lot. Open hearts. His heart. The Lord worked on his heart. He opened up. He opened up and he was willing to talk more. And open hearts to receive Jesus and boldness to openly share that Jesus is hope. You see, the first century church, you got to listen, you got to hear this. Are your ears awake this morning? The first century church, okay, prayed to boldly unleash hope in their city, just like we're talking about. Thousands of years later, they did it. Read what they said. Next slide. They said, enable your servants, oh God, to speak your word with great boldness. The same prayer. Thousands of years later, we're going to pray this. Lord, embolden us, oh God, yeah, to speak your word with great boldness at work, at the store, in the parking lot, around town, throughout Seattle. I love this because after Corinth, where we read about Paul being afraid, after Corinth, watch this. Paul boldly and without hindrance, Scripture says, preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we read in the 18th chapter about a man who was deathly afraid, and then we read about in the 28th chapter about a man who boldly and without hindrance. Wait a second, is this the same guy? Are we reading about the same? Is this a different Paul? Surely it's got to be a different. No. How? Well, he writes about it and he tells us how. From another prison cell. Boldly, what does he say? And here's the ticket. How do I overcome my fears? Once I overcome it, is it one and done? Or is it a daily tension that I bring to the Lord? Watch this. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Would you say that with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say it again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's through Christ. It's through Christ. Paul said, it's through my personal relationship with Jesus that I can overcome. Man, Lord, here I come, Jesus. That sounds real good to me. here I come, Lord. I found you this morning. Here I come, Jesus. I can't face these fears any longer, Lord. Thank you, God, that it's through my relationship with you that I can do all things. In your notes, one friend and family member I can boldly share Jesus with and invite to church. First name that comes to you in your notes, just write it down. One friend or family member that I can boldly share my faith, I can boldly share Jesus with and invite to church. First name that comes to your mind. I wrote mine down this morning in prayer. I'm believing for Adrian. Every head bowed and eye closed this morning. Let's pray together. This morning, men, women, boys, and girls, with every head bowed and eye closed, all of us who may not have joy or peace
in our heart, we'll spend an entire lifetime seeking it out, searching for joy, searching for peace, searching for hope. It's something we all long for. I know what I'm talking about because I've done it. I've searched. I've searched in places. I've searched in substance abuse. I've searched in sex. I've searched in education. Well, maybe if I have this degree, I'll feel joy. I've searched in acceptance, wanting people to accept me socially, seeking peace and joy and hope, in jobs and position and power. Where have you searched? You know, one thing I found, though, with every head bowed and eye closed, the one thing I found is that the only place that I've really experienced true joy and true peace and hope unleashed, the only place has been in my personal relationship with Jesus. When I found Jesus and I began following him wholeheartedly, that is when I found joy. This morning, I want to extend an invitation. Pastor Linnea and myself want to extend an invitation. This is not from us. This is from God this morning. We want to extend an invitation to you. If you found hope this morning, and for the first time you want to say, I want to follow Jesus. You said, I want to follow Jesus with you, Pastor Ryan and Pastor Linnea. I'm all in this morning. Would you just raise your hand? And I ask you to raise your hand so I can know who to pray for. Yeah, real boldly, just put it up. One, keep it up for me. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay, you can put your hands down. Father, I pray right now, just pray this prayer with me, those who raised your hand. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name right now. Lord, would you help? God, your word says, everyone who calls help God gets help. And so right now, Lord, that's all we say. With a simple prayer, we say, God, help. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of the mistakes we've made. Come into our heart right now, Father. We've publicly raised our hand and said, we want to follow you, God, because you make everything better.
Yeah.
Jesus, we follow you. So, Lord, I pray, come into our hearts. Those that raise their hand, just pray that prayer with me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I want a relationship with you. I want to follow you wholeheartedly. Help me, God, to do that. It's my heart's desire. I want to extend one more invitation this morning. If you've got fears in your life and you want to bring them to Jesus this morning, would you just raise your hand with every head bowed and eye closed? You've got things you're afraid of, fears that you're struggling with, you want to bring to the Lord this morning. Just raise that hand so I know who I'm praying for. Yeah, hands all over. One, two, three, four, five. Too many to even count. Just raise them up so I can. Yeah, good. Good. You're saying, with a hand raised, you're saying, God, here's my fear this morning. Yeah, I got my hand up, by the way. This isn't like, I got my hands up, two hands and a foot this morning. Lord, hear my fears. Hear the things I'm afraid of. God, I bring them to you because your word says that I can do it. I can make it. I can take it through Christ, through Christ, through Christ. So, Lord, I pray for every hand that was raised. And I just ask right now in Jesus' name that, God, you would help. God, help, help, help boldly. Fill with boldness. Fill with courage. Fill with life. Fill with hope. Unleash hope now, God, that you would change the way we think of it and change the way we see it because, God, you are with us. You are for us. God, do it right now, I pray, in this moment. Linnea, pray. Pray over those who raise their hands. Yes, God.
Lord, we just pray that you would crush fear.
Yes.
Lord, what seeks to overtake us is actually under your feet.
Yeah.
God, you're bigger than the lie. You're bigger than the fear.
Yeah.
God, we will not look at the fear anymore. We will proclaim who you are. So would you just help us to turn our eyes to you? Lord, I think of that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full at his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Father, we repent of looking so long at our fear that we are no longer looking at you. We repent of that old way. God, turn our eyes to you. God, like a father kneeling down to a child, God, you take your hand and lift our chin to see your face. God, we look at you without the cell phone, without the distraction, without all the voices. Father God, just give us a tunnel vision to see you when fears try to pelt us. Lord God, may we find overcoming power at the cross and nowhere else. May we not try to deal with fear by numbing the pain, by distractions, by acting brave when there's nothing there. Oh God, we just seek power to overcome with the cross and with you and you alone. May we leave here changed. May we leave here challenged. Father God, thank you for the tools that you give us. God, that you give us the courage to keep going. Father, that you give us community to overcome. And Lord, that we have that you give us everything we need to speak out. Help us just to keep going the way Paul did. Help us not balk under the pressure of those around us, but Lord, to stand firm in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand with us and would you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Say that with us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say it again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One more time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's worship.